Welcome to Grace Bible Study. This video segment, we're going to be talking about the basics of rightly dividing. Now, the first question that comes through your mind, well, what is rightly dividing? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to notice in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So what we have here, this is the key to understanding all Scripture, is rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's go over it one more time. It says to study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, I've asked a lot of people about their salvation and about things of the Bible and stuff. And I asked them, I said, what would you do to show yourself approved unto God? What would you do to seek God's approval? A lot of people say pray. A lot of people say go to church. A lot of people say keep the law. These kind of things. But what does the Bible say to do to show yourself approved unto God? It says to study. Now, it's not talking about men's books. It's talking about studying the Word of God. It's talking about seeking after the Lord. It says study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, every one of us that has trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some of us are going to be ashamed, and some of us are not. Those people that rightly divide the word of truth will not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ over the things that they have taught. Notice in the latter part, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the word of truth has to be rightly divided. The word rightly means to correctly, and the word dividing means to separate. So it's correctly separating the word of God. You really need to understand these things, because there's parts in this Bible that are written for you, and there's parts in here that are written to you. There's parts that are written to other people, all right? Now, for instance, one of the first things you need to know before you start rightly dividing the word of truth is the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. Now, if you don't know the difference between a Jew and a Gentile, you're not going to understand this Bible. So I want you to go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, God Almighty called a man, his name was Abram, and changed his name to Abraham and made a covenant with him. All right, notice in chapter 17, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." So what God did, he took one man, this man's name was Abram, changed his name to Abraham, and made covenant with Abraham. And the token of that covenant is that all the males were to be circumcised. Therefore, Abraham and his seed are known as the they're known as the circumcision, and everyone else is known as the uncircumcision, and they're called the Gentiles. But Abraham and his seed, they are called the Jews. They are called the Jews. They are called the house of Israel. They're called the Israelites. They're called the circumcised. They're called the clean. Now, notice in verse 8 here again, it says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now, God Almighty made some promises to Abraham. Now, I also want you to go back up to verse 7. It says here, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." So what God says he's going to do here, he's going to be a God unto them, and he's going to make covenant with them, and this covenant is to establish between Abraham and his seed. Now, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, and out of these 12 sons, these were called the 12 tribes of Israel. And these are the descendants of Abraham, and these people are called the Jews. They are called the circumcision. And everyone else in the world are called the Gentiles. Now, God made a separation among men. It's not black and white, okay? It's not the Japanese and the Americans, all right? But it is the Jew and the Gentile. Notice in go to verse 13. It says, "He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." Notice that this covenant is going to last forever. It is an everlasting covenant. Now you can see here that God made a separation among people on the earth. Now, when we get into the Holy Scriptures, you will notice that there are some scriptures that are written to the Jews, and there are some scriptures that are written to the Gentiles, okay? And you cannot mix these up, because if you mix these up, you're going to end up with mixed up doctrine. Now, my job is to teach you how to rightly divide the word of truth, that you may see and understand God's holy word. Now, what we're going to do here, we're going to take you to some passages of scripture, some very popular passages of scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, if you've gone to church a few times, you've probably heard this passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So what we have here, we have Scripture telling us that you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 9, make it very clear. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, nobody's going to be able to boast about their salvation when they stand before the Lord. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, your salvation is by grace through faith. Now, in other places in the Bible, it says something completely different. Now, does the Bible contradict itself? No way. It is the Word of God. It is pure. It is without blemish. It has no faults, no mistakes in there. All right? But there are some seemingly contradictions in here. Now, watch. Let me show you. Now, remember this scripture. All right? Now, we're going to go to James. Let's go to the book of James. All right? It's right after Hebrews. All right. Notice in James chapter 2. Now, we're going to go to some more popular verses of Scripture. Now, sometimes you have denominations, and they'll teach a lot on Ephesians. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then there's some denominations, they'll stick with this Scripture over here in James chapter 2. Notice we're going to start at verse 14. The Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Now, notice here's the question they're asking. Can faith save him? In other words, can faith alone save a person without a person doing any works? Let's see what the Bible says. Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now watch verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So what we have here is we have a scripture that tells us that a man is not justified by faith alone. It says here that works are also involved, okay? Now, one more time, verse 24, it says, You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, let's go on, verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what we have here, we have a scripture telling us that your works are involved in your salvation, in your justification, okay? But yet, didn't we read a scripture in Ephesians that says your works are not involved? Now let's go back to it. Now I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to compare these two scriptures. We're going to put them on the screen for you side by side. And I want you to be able to read both of them at the same time. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here we have a scripture telling us not of works. But we go back to James chapter 2, verse 24, it says, You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now some of you out there, you're getting pretty confused. You're saying, well, yeah, I don't see how this works out here. One of them saying one thing and one of them saying another. Now if you can see that, you're doing good. Because there's a lot of people out there who say, oh, they say the same thing. But they don't. Now look at the scripture right side by side. One of them says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the other one says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. People, you couldn't miss this if you tried. These scriptures don't say the same thing. One of them says that your salvation is by grace through faith. And the other one says your works are involved. Now how does that come about? Right now, you're getting pretty confused. Now, what happens? I've seen a lot of people that don't know how to rightly divide the word of Scripture, and they'll take these two scriptures and they say, oh, well, they're saying the same thing. And that's how they answer it. But they're not saying the same thing. Some people look at them and go, oh, well, if you're really saved, you'll do the works. That's their answer. Okay? But that's not what the Bible says. You won't find that anywhere here in the Bible where it says, if you're really saved, you'll do the works. Okay? What they try to do is take some two seemingly contradictory scriptures and try to blend them together and say it's saying the same thing. But they are not, people. They are saying two different things. And there is an answer. Okay? Now, watch. I want you to fully understand. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. All right, if you're in Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to flip it over to chapter 3 and notice in verse 1, it says, For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Now, I got a question for you. We got it right here on the screen here. Verse 1, it says, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, who is the Apostle Paul writing to? He's writing to the Gentiles. Okay? Now keep that in memory and let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, notice in verse 1. James chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. All right, now who is James writing to? Obviously, it says here, he's writing to the 12 tribes. Who are they? Well, they're the 12 tribes of Israel that we talked about. Okay, James is writing to the Jews. All right, and the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he's writing to the Gentiles. Okay, so what we have two different books. We have the book of James, and we have the book of Ephesians. All right, the book of James is written by James. The book of Ephesians is written by the Apostle Paul. By the way, he is the Apostle of the Gentiles, which you will see later. Now, and so we have two different people writing two different books, writing to two different sets of people, writing two different things. Okay? People say, okay, well, I see that, but why is they writing two different things? Well, God's got it set up a little different. Now, watch this. All right? I want you to go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, notice in let's go to verse 29. Romans chapter 3, verse 29, the Bible says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Notice here, the Bible says, justify the circumcision, which are who? Those are the Jews, the circumcision, which we learned in Genesis chapter 17. All right. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now, people, these are not the same. He's going to justify the circumcision by faith, all right, associated with their works, just like it says in the book of James. Okay? And he's going to justify the uncircumcision through faith, just like it says in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you say, okay, well, that makes sense. Okay? He's going to justify some people one way and some people the other way. Well, why is he doing that? All right? Well, back when this was written, with the Apostle Paul, there was some Jews there that had seen the Lord. Okay? They walked and talked with the Lord. Some of them even ate with the Lord. Now, I want you to go back to, let's go back to the book of John. Now, y'all remember one of the apostles, his name was Thomas. Okay? Remember they called him Doubting Thomas? Well, let me show you why they call him Doubting Thomas. All right? Now, I want you to go to John chapter 20. Okay? John chapter 20. And what we have here is the Lord Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, he showed himself to the apostles. But Thomas wasn't there. Notice in verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now Thomas said, if he didn't see the Lord, he didn't put his fingers in the print of the nails, he wasn't going to believe. Now watch, let's go on, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Now, this is very important, verse 29, okay? There's some people out there that had seen the Lord back when the Lord was on doing his earthly ministry. And Thomas was one of them that saw the Lord. And the Lord told Thomas, he says, because you have seen me, you have believed. And he said, blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. So, got a question for you. Now, let's put it on the screen here. What we're going to do is put them that hadn't seen and them that had seen. All right? Now, according to the scripture here, it says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, notice here, the Bible says the people that have not seen the Lord are more blessed than the people that had seen the Lord. Why is that? Because the people that hadn't seen the Lord, they can be saved by grace through faith, faith alone. Now, I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, now this is faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you saw the Lord and you believed in the Lord, would that be faith? No, because you'd seen the Lord. Okay? But you can be not see something, and you can have faith. Okay? You can have faith, and God will save you by grace through faith because you haven't seen. Now, today, the Jews and Gentiles haven't seen the Lord, and they'll all be saved by grace through faith. But the scripture's talking about that time that the Lord was walking upon the earth. Them that had seen the Lord and them that hadn't seen the Lord. And he said, blessed are they which haven't seen the Lord. They are going to be saved by grace through faith. So what we have here is a difference in the Bible. Okay? We have some scripture that goes to the Jews telling them they're saved by their faith plus works. Then we have scripture going to the Gentiles, and it says that they're going to be saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what we have is two different things in this Bible. Now watch, I want you to go back to James. Let's go back to James. All right. James. Let's go back to James chapter 2. All right. James chapter 2, notice in verse 17. I want to burn this in your memory for just a moment. James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. All right. So what we have here is, if you have faith plus no works equals what? It's dead, according to the book of James. Okay. Faith without works is dead being alone. This is what the scripture says in the book of James. So according to the book of James, if you got faith and you have no works, your faith is dead and you're going to end up in hell. All right. So what we have here is definitely, positively, the book of James is teaching that your works are involved in your salvation. But you got to understand who he's writing it to. He's writing it to the Jews. All right. Now watch. I want you to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want you to notice in verse 4. Now, the Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, okay? And he is writing to the Gentiles during the dispensation of grace. Now, we covered that scripture, if you remember, in Ephesians chapter 3. And tell you what, let's hold on to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3 again real quick. And what I want to do is show you about the dispensation of the grace of God. In Ephesians, all right, Ephesians chapter 3, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So what we have here is we have something called the dispensation of grace. Now what I want you to do is look on your screen right now, and we're going to have what we call the time chart, okay? Now you'll be seeing a lot of this time chart throughout the Bible studies. And what you can see here is we have a time where God was dealing with the law, and then we have a time where God is dealing in grace, okay? Under the law, your works were involved, but under grace, no works are involved. And we are living today during the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, this is the time period that we're talking about, okay? Now, watch. Paul, during this time period, Paul writes to the Gentiles, and he tells them that they're saved by grace through faith. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and I want you to notice in verse 4, the Bible says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Okay? Now what we have here is the Apostle Paul telling us about them that work. Okay? Now if you work for the Lord and you do things for the Lord, Lord's going to have a reward for you when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? But God Almighty is not handing out reward by grace. Okay? Because if he did, he'd have to hand it out to everyone. But you have to work for your reward. So the Bible says here, it's not of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you work for the Lord, okay, he owes it to you. Now, it might not sound right now, okay, but that's how it is. If you serve the Lord with all your heart, you're going to have a reward, and believe it or not, he owes it to you. That's the way he's got it set up. All right, but watch verse 5. Now, watch. "But to him that worketh not," okay, "to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Okay? Now watch. Isn't that different from what we read in the book of James? All right, notice verse 5 again. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So what we have here is we have a person that doesn't do any works for the Lord, but yet he believes on him that justifies the ungodly. How's his faith counted? It's faith plus no works equals righteousness, okay? His faith is still counted for righteousness. Now, in the book of James, what did it say your faith was counted as? Your faith is counted as dead. In other words, if you didn't have the works, your faith is counted as dead. But during the dispensation of the grace of God, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you don't serve the Lord, if you don't work for the Lord, but yet you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, all right, the Bible says here that your faith is counted for righteousness. You will still have eternal life even though you don't do anything for the Lord. Now, you're going to miss out on your reward, but the thing is, you'll still be saved because your faith is counted for righteousness by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have here, we showed you just a few things about rightly dividing the word of truth. And what I want to show you here is that there's some things in this Bible that differ, okay? They're different. They say different things, but they're saying them to different people, okay? So what we have to do is rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we rightly divide, God Almighty is going to open up your eyes of understanding, and you'll start to see and you'll start to understand things in this Bible. I guarantee it. All right. So what we want to do now, I want to show you just a few more odds and ends about rightly dividing, show you some things that differ. And when you see these things that differ, you will understand that the Bible does not contradict itself. It may seemingly contradict itself, but it doesn't contradict itself because it has an answer for everything. All right. Now, I want you to notice here, let's go to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, all right, notice in verse 17. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, and what we're still on basics of rightly divide, and what I'm trying to show you is just some things that are different from other things in the Bible. All right, in Matthew chapter 5, notice in verse 17, the Bible says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So what we have here, we're going to show you the time chart again, and we can see that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came upon this earth, before he died and paid for sins, that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the law. Notice in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, notice in verse 16, the Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now here's someone going up to the Lord Jesus Christ, flat out asking him, what must I do to have eternal life? Notice what it says here in verse 17. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So what we have here is we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is teaching this man that you've got to keep the law in order to have eternal life. In other words, back then, Jesus Christ, but before he died and paid for sins, Jesus Christ was teaching the law. Notice in verse, let's go to John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, notice in verse 28, the Bible says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." So what we have here is, once again, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the law. In other words, if you were good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. That's the way it was. You know, a lot of people are still teaching that. There's a lot of denominations you can go to, and what they'll do, they'll go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all they teach out of. Well, guess what? It doesn't talk anything about the dispensation of grace in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That didn't take place till afterwards. The dispensation of grace was given unto the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul wasn't even saved till Acts chapter 9. So what we have here is we have Jesus Christ teaching the law. But then Jesus Christ died and paid for sins. And after that, shortly after that, he called this man, his name was Saul of Tarsus, changed his name to Paul, and sent him to the Gentiles. And he said, "Paul, I've got a message for you to give to the Gentiles, and that is they're going to be saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, and they're not going to be under the law." Notice in let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, notice in verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul is writing to the Romans, which were the Gentiles, and notice in verse 14 he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now people, that's completely different from what we saw in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, isn't it? Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was teaching the law. It was teaching keep the commandments. It was teaching be good, you'll go to heaven. Be bad, you're going to go to hell. Okay, but now we're saved by grace through faith, and he tells us ye are not under the law, but under grace. All right, once again, let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 1 and 2, Paul's talking about the past, how God was dealing with man in the past. Now, watch in chapter 3, notice in verse 21, it says, "But now." Okay? You see them first two words? It says, "But now." "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So what we have here is Paul's telling us that a man's going to be justified without the deeds of the law. Verse 26, again. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we make void the law through God? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now, Paul goes on to tell us that the law is good and holy and just. There's nothing wrong with the law, but you can't be saved by doing the works of the law. Notice in verse 28 again, it says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, when the Apostle Paul was going around teaching salvation by grace, and he went into an area called Galatia. And after he left there, they had some people went back in there and started teaching that you had to be circumcised and that you had to keep the law, you had to do all this kind of stuff for your salvation. And the Galatians started getting confused. So Paul wrote them a letter. It's called the Book of Galatians. And let's go there, and I want to read to you out of Galatians chapter 2. Notice in verse 16 it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now the Bible says here that you cannot be justified by doing the works of the law. God Almighty is saving people today by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, is there scripture in this Bible that says you got to keep the law? Yeah, there's plenty of scripture in here. But the Bible also tells us that now we are under grace. This is why you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, people, this Bible covers a lot of years, okay? Many thousands of years when God was dealing with man under the law, and now he's dealing with man under grace. Now, if you take the law and you take grace and you try to mingle them together, guess what? You're going to get all kind of mixed up doctrine. Now watch, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 21. The Bible says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, now watch this, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now which came first? Faith or the law? Now, according to this, the Bible says the law came first and then faith came later. Now, watch. Verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So what we have here, if looking again on the time chart, we have a time where the law was in effect and God was dealing with people under the law, and you had to do the works of the law in order to be justified. But now, under grace, the Bible says, let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, what God Almighty did, okay, He sent His Son down here to die and pay for our sins. And when He did that, He was able to save people by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. God Almighty has given us this time called the dispensation of the grace of God, where He'll save you by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, is there scripture saying you got to do works? Yes, I showed you those scriptures, okay? I showed you in the book of James, and there's many other places. You can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you want to, and several other places, and you can see where works are involved. But today, during the dispensation of grace, no works are involved for your salvation. It's a free gift. Notice in Romans chapter 5. All right. Notice in Romans chapter 5. Notice in verse 12 it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Now, you can go on and on in this Bible, and you're going to find out that salvation is a free gift given by the Lord, okay? Salvation by grace through faith, it's a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't buy it, okay? You can't do anything for it. All you can do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary, and people, it's yours. It's a free gift. Salvation by grace through faith. Now, so what we've done, we've talked about different things in the Bible so far. We call this the basics of rightly dividing, the things that differ in the Bible. And so what we've done, we've shown you several things, the things about works, the things about grace, the things about the law, and the things about grace. So what we have is difference in this Bible. Now I want to show you another thing that's completely different. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. All right, in Matthew chapter 10, I want you to notice in verse 5. Well, I'll tell you what, let's back up to verse 2. Now, what we have here is the Bible is naming off the apostles. Notice in verse 2, it says, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebanus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying," now watch, let's go on, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, here's the question. Now, we covered, if you remember, the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. All right, the Jews are called the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, remember Abraham, then Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob, changed his name to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, and these descendants are the Jews. They are the house of Israel. Okay, so what we have here is we have the Lord telling the 12 apostles. Now, watch who He's telling them not to go to. He says in verse 5, halfway down, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Who did he tell them not to go to? He told them not to go to the Gentiles. Okay? Not to go to the Gentiles. Notice in verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So what we have here is we have the 12 apostles that were never, ever, ever sent to the Gentiles. Now later on in Acts chapter 10, we're going to show you that the apostle Peter was sent to a Gentile. His name was Cornelius, but he was never sent to the Gentiles. God Almighty had a special man that he picked to go to the Gentiles. His name was Saul, change his name to Paul, and he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Notice in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to find out who writes the book of Romans. It says here, Romans chapter 1, notice in verse 1 it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So what we have here is the book of Romans was written by a man named Paul, and he was an apostle. He was made an apostle by the Lord. Was he one of the 12? No, he was not. Okay? He is a separate apostle, just like several other men were made apostles. Now watch, I want you to go to Romans chapter 11 and notice in verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says, Paul says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Paul says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, Paul says he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Okay? Now, remember what we covered in Matthew? Who did the Lord tell? He told the apostles, the 12 apostles, who did he tell them not to go to? He told them not to go to the Gentiles. But yet this man, the apostle Paul, is, he says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. That's because Peter had a different message from Paul. Paul was teaching salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Peter and James and John were all teaching salvation by works. Your works were involved. Notice once again, let's go back to it. In James chapter 2. In James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 24. Now you got to remember, James was one of the 12 apostles. The Lord told him not to go to the Gentiles. He said, you only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when James writes the book of James, he writes it, notice in verse 1 again. James chapter 1, verse 1, he says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the 12 tribes. He's writing to the Jews. He's doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told him to do. Okay? And notice here in verse 24, he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So James is doing just like the Lord told him to do. You go to the Jews and you teach them that their works are involved in their salvation. But he told the apostle Paul, he told him, he says, you go to the Gentiles and you teach them that I'm giving them something called the dispensation of the grace of God, and I'm going to save them by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let's go there one more time in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9. Now you'll notice here that I go through some scriptures more than once, okay? It's by repetition you're going to learn the Holy Scriptures. Now watch. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Who's writing it? It's the apostle Paul. Okay, and who is he? According to Romans chapter 11, verse Verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. And he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So what we have here is, once again, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Gentiles. We have the other apostle, one of the 12, James, is writing to the Jews, and they're telling them two different things. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 15 again. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what we have here, we've given you a little bit of rightly dividing, and there's plenty more to come. People, this was just a drop in the bucket. Now, if you've enjoyed this video that you've seen so far, the one with Salvation by Grace and Basics of Rightly Dividing, if you've enjoyed this video and you would like to get on our mailing list, give us a call. The number's on your screen there. And what we'll do, we'll put you on the mailing list for the beginner series. And when the beginner series, if you receive all 10 of the beginner series and you've enjoyed those, you give us a call again and we'll put you on the advanced series and we'll start sending you the advanced series and you'll permanently be on the mailing list and you'll receive our videos from here on out. But for right now, I want to, for those of you out there that are not sure about your salvation, I want to talk to you a little bit about your salvation. Now, I want you to understand that God Almighty sent His Son down here, Jesus Christ, to die and pay for our sins. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice here in verse 1 it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, people, are you a vain believer? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or are you relying upon all kind of different things for your salvation? You know, I've talked to a lot of people about their salvation, and there's people out there relying upon their water baptism. They think because they got dunked or sprinkled or whatever, they think they're going to heaven because they did that. People, that won't get you saved. You can be baptized 100 times and still never have a Savior. You've got to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary. There's people out there that are trusting in doing works, okay? For instance, like we talked about today, there's people out there think they have to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. I've met people before and they say, yeah, well, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, people, I showed you that no man can be justified by doing the deeds of the law. It's not going to happen. You have to have a Savior. There was only one given. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Now, people, I don't care how long you've gone to church, okay? I don't care if your mom and daddy went to church, your grandma and granddaddy went to church. Going to church doesn't get you saved, people. Going to church, you might be able to hear the gospel and hear about what it takes to be saved. Now, I want you to notice on your screen here, we're going to put the scripture right here on the screen. Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I got a question for you. Do you remember a time in your life when you realized you were lost, you realized you needed a Savior, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you remember calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him to save you? Well, people, if you haven't called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Okay? You might know who the Savior is. You might believe in God. You might believe in Jesus Christ. You might believe He died and paid for your sins, but you might be trusting in how good you are in order to be saved. Well, people, there's only one way to get saved, and that's to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to save you. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now remember, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.